Good morning, everyone. Merry Christmas. Isn't the snow beautiful? So great. Wait, was there a scoff out in the audience? I come from Minnesota, so if there's not snow on Christmas, it's hard for it to feel like Christmas. All the folks from Florida probably have a different feeling than I do about it, but I love seeing the snow on Christmas. Welcome, all of our guests who have joined us here today. I am so glad that you are here celebrating Christmas with us. Will you all pray with me before we go to God's word this morning and see what he has to say to us? God, we thank you and we praise you for your son, Jesus, our Savior, who's Christ the Lord. God, for many of us this morning, this story that we're going to look at is so familiar. And so, God, I just ask and pray this morning that you would please help us to once again marvel at it, ponder it, believe it, celebrate it, go and share it. God, would you open up our hearts and our minds to receive the truth from your word today? God, we know that won't happen apart from your work, and so we ask and pray for it. And above all, God, we ask and pray that you would be glorified today. We ask it in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Well, when I first started at the pharmacy, oh my goodness, it was over a decade ago at the place that I'm at now. I remember the first week that I was on the job, I think it was probably the first or second day, it's probably the second day that I was there, they were throwing a party for a coworker of mine who had just gotten married. Now, I was new to the place, and so I ended up showing up a little bit late to the party. When I got to the break room, there were decorations, and there was food, and there were gifts there, and I was like, what? But I'm an otter, right? So like, I'm all about jumping in on the fun, so I'm ready. I join in, I walk in, I grab a plate of food, I'm having fun, and I look over at a coworker, and I'm like, so, what's this all about? Like, why are we celebrating today, right? I think that for a lot of people today, that's kind of like what Christmas is. It's like we're showing up, we're joining this party. There is a great party going on. There is gifts and there's decorations and there's food and we're jumping in and we're like, what's going on? Like, why are we celebrating? So today, what we want to do, we're going to focus in on why we celebrate Christmas, what this party we call Christmas is all about. So turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. You should already be there. That's where our reading was. We're going to look at the history of the first Christmas ever. The point for us is not hard to see. God wants us to see that Jesus is the Savior. He wants us to believe in him, to celebrate him, and to share him with other people. So he sent angels to some shepherds to announce it, and then he gave them a sign to confirm it. Why? So that he could help them believe in this Savior, but not just them, us too. And then like them, that we could celebrate this and go and share it with other people. This morning, we're going to ask four questions. What is this good news about? Why does it matter? What's the goal? And how should we respond? All right, well, first, what's this good news of great joy about? It's about a special baby. We're going to see this in verses 8 through 11. Look at verse 8 with me again. Luke records the history. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. All right, what region are they in? Who remembers from Pastor Mark's sermon last week? What region are they in? Yeah, that's right. Exactly. They're in Bethlehem, right? Mary and Joseph have traveled from Nazareth to Bethlehem to be registered because Caesar Augustus sent out this decree. He wanted to take a census, so they returned to their homeland. And because Joseph is of the line of David, they went to Bethlehem, which is the city of David. And it said in verse 6, while they were there, not the moment they arrived, but at some point after they had come to Bethlehem, the time came for Mary to give birth, and she gave birth to a son, a baby boy. And verse 7 says, they wrapped him in, in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger. It was a feeding trough for animals. It was probably made out of stone, filled with straw. Humble circumstances, to be sure, but not the crisis situation that's often depicted in the movies. Jesus was not born in a palace with perfumes, wrapped in purple silk and laid in a manger that's overlaid with gold. No, he's born in a stable of sorts with a smell of animals, wrapped in plain clothes and laid in a feeding trough for animals. This humble beginning fits his humble life of service and his humble death of sacrifice. You see, Jesus came to earth not to be served, but to serve. He came to give his life as a ransom for many, for us. And are we so great that we can't serve others? See, Jesus humbled himself for us, and we should have the same mindset, Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. The humble birth shows us what kind of a Savior King Jesus is. He's a humble servant. But beyond that, it shows us what kind of life we who identify with him should live. We should live as humble servants. Well, that same night that the baby is born, there's shepherds out in the fields under the starry sky. They're watching over their flock, shepherds who were considered unclean and untrustworthy. They were poor and lowly, and they were pushed to the margins of society. They were social outcasts. And it's so fitting that the announcement of this Savior should be made to the shepherds first, because it's the announcement of a humble Savior to those of humble estate. Just as Mary had sung, God scatters the proud in the thoughts of their heart, and he brings down the mighty, but he exalts those of humble estate, those who see their need for this Savior. So they're out, they're guarding their sheep in the dark. The stars are shining, and all of a sudden, a light like no other pierces the darkness. Look at verse 9. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone all around them, and they were filled with fear. The blazing light of God's glorious presence is all around them, and they're just overwhelmed with fear. And the angel says, look, verse 10, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Don't fear. Don't fear. No, instead, I've got good news. It's news of a great joy. It's news for all people. A baby was born this very day, a real day in human history, when Caesar Augustus was the emperor of Rome and Quirinius was the governor in Syria, born in Bethlehem, a real city which still exists today. You see, the announcement comes from heaven, but all the events are taking place on earth in human history. And this baby is given three special titles by the angel. The baby is the Savior, Christ, and Lord. He's a Savior. He's named Jesus because he's going to save God's people from their sins. If you've ever sinned against God, then you need a Savior. And that's why he came, to save us from sin and death, but to save us for eternal life and heaven. He's a Savior who is called Christ. Christ isn't Jesus' last name. It's a title. It means Messiah or anointed one. He's the Messiah that all the prophecies in the Old Testament pointed to. He fulfills all of God's promises. And finally, this baby is the Lord, God incarnate, God come to earth as a man. That's why he's also called Emmanuel, like we sang a moment ago, God with us. He's a sovereign ruler over all things. This baby is Savior, Christ, and Lord. He takes away all of our guilt. He fulfills all of our hopes. He defeats all of our enemies. He satisfies our greatest need. He brings forgiveness of sins. That's the good news of great joy. A Savior is born who's Christ the Lord. Well, why does it matter for us? You know, in order to see that this is good news of great joy, we've got to understand a couple of things. Number one, this is news that we need. Like, we need saving. And number two, that this is news for us, for me and you. This isn't just for them. Well, first we need to see that we need saving. Let me try to explain. Suppose I come over to your house and I say, hey, knock on the door. I say, hey, I've got good news. This is going to make you really happy. In my trunk, I've got rice and beans and soup and bread. Now, if you're like most people who have enough food, that doesn't really mean much for you. Thanks, but no thanks. I don't need it. But what if you're starving to death? That's good news, because this is exactly what you need. That's going to make you happier. What if I showed up at your house and I said, hey, I got some good news. It's going to make you so happy. I have a job for you. Well, if you already have a job, who cares? But if you're out of work and you don't have any income and you don't have any money, this is good news. It's going to make you happy because it's exactly what you need. Now, here's the rub. Who are we in the illustrations? We're the starving man, and we're the person with no money. The rub is, though, we think that we have plenty, and we think that we're wealthy. So when the offer of food comes, we reject it, thinking that we don't need it, even though we're starving to death. If we're going to see that this is good news of a great joy, we've got to see that we need saving. And it's because this good news is for all people that it implies we all need saving. Now, this is right where Christianity is unlike every other religion in the world, and it's unlike the cultural understanding of Christmas. See, every other religion teaches that in order to get to heaven, you've got to be a good person. If you do enough good, you'll get there. Or like Santa Claus, like the cultural understanding of Christmas is if you do good, you get the gift. But Christianity teaches the exact opposite. It teaches that we're so messed up, we're so sinful, we're such rebels against God, we have no hope of earning this gift of salvation, no hope of earning heaven. We cannot save ourselves. We've all sinned. We've all turned away from God. We've all broken his moral laws. Now, I don't think that we need tons and tons of convincing on this. All you have to do is turn on the TV and you can see how much evil there is in the world. In fact, I know some people, some close friends, they don't even watch it anymore. They've chosen not to watch it because of all the evil they see on the news. But let's face it, the evil isn't just out there in the world. It's in here. It's in our hearts. We're proud and we're selfish and we do self-centered things and we say harsh and angry words. And when we think terrible thoughts, disgusting thoughts daily, that's our situation. We're sinful all through in our actions, our words, our thoughts, our desires, and I think deep down we know it. We're guilty of breaking God's commands, and we know that we deserve his judgment for it. The Bible puts it this way. It says, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness. All sin, God's wrath is being revealed against it. No one is righteous, not one. We've all turned aside. We all live in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and so we're by nature children of wrath, just like the rest of mankind. This is a universal problem. It's everyone's problem. Like, wow. Michael, what a cheerful message for Christmas. Like, bah humbug, you Scrooge. You know, it's like wow. Hey, Merry Christmas. Right? But wait, you've got to remember that it's only in seeing the badness of the bad news that we can appreciate the goodness of the good news. This is only half the message. The other half is hope because there's a Savior. The good news is that God does for us what we cannot do for ourselves. He saves us. You see, the cultural message of Christmas is, you know what, we're all okay. You know, all that you really need is more stuff and more food and more time with family. And while some of those things are good things, they will not solve our greatest problem, the problem that we all have, this problem of sin. Our greatest problem is not political or financial or relational or societal. The darkness that's distorting everything that we think and say and do is not out there. It's in here, inside of us. Our biggest problem is sin. It's rebellion against God. And that's why our problem isn't going to be solved by better education. Our problem won't be solved by more police or better government or better laws. Getting a better job and having more stuff is not going to fix this. Our problem is not going to be solved by just trying harder to be good or by telling ourselves over and over again, we're okay, we're all okay. You know, the great message and goal of atheism is to say that God does not exist so that guilt will not exist. If there's no God, then there's no guilt. The only problem is that the research is showing that we are more guilt-laden, more guilt-ridden than we have ever been in our culture. The guilt hasn't gone anywhere because God hasn't gone anywhere. We are not okay. We cannot fix this. That is why we need Jesus Christ, our Savior, who comes to deliver us from sin and make things right with us and God. This baby is going to grow up and one day die in our place for our sins, taking the punishment that we deserve, dying to save us. He's the only one who can deal with our guilt. Only God can forgive sins against God. That's the glorious good news of Christmas, that God himself comes to earth in the person of Jesus Christ to rescue us. Jesus was born to live and die and rise again so that we could have forgiveness for our sins and peace with God and eternal life. That's the good news of great joy. Do you see it? Do you see it? That's why we celebrate at Christmas. But I said there's two things we got to see. We also got to see that this is for us. To know that a Savior is born doesn't bring us much joy unless each person believes that they came for them personally. Listen, one of the most stunning, the most wonderful phrases in this text from the angels is this. The angel says, "For unto you is born." Stop and think about that for a minute. The angel says, unto you, to the shepherds, a child is born to you. That ought to make us pause for a minute because it's incredible. Think about it this way. Normally, when you give birth to a baby, right, the doctor comes into the parents and he says something along the lines of, congratulations, you have a son. Or congratulations, you have a daughter. Right? Imagine if the doctor walked out into the waiting room full of patients, full of strangers, and said, congratulations, you have a son. Like, what? That's what this is like. It's the announcement of the birth of a baby, and the angel comes to the shepherds and says, unto you is born. It's incredible. Or you could think of it this way. It's like God gives a Christmas present to the shepherds, and the tag reads, to you from God. Okay? We finally got our presents under the tree this week. There was a moment where it was a little iffy. We ordered most of our gifts from Amazon this year. We started singing a new Christmas song at our house. I'm going to teach it to you real quick. Here comes Amazon, right down our driveway. So, we love Amazon. Sorry. Anyway, we got the presents under the tree. Christmas miracle number one. What do you think the kids did the first thing the next day when they came downstairs? What do you think they did first thing? No, they didn't open the presents. Yeah, that's exactly right. They were like, okay, which one's mine? They started checking the tags to see which one of the gifts is for me. We all did that as kids, right? That's what we want to know. Is the gift for me, right? So I got this gift here. This one says Sarah on it. And so, right, what do we do with the gifts that aren't ours? We quickly and carefully put them back under the tree, right? Because we're like, who cares? That's not for me. This one has my name on it. This one says Michael, right? Now the fun begins, right? You feel how heavy it is? You shake it to see if it's clothes or Lego, right? Because when I was a kid, that's all I ever wanted. And you always knew which ones were Lego. Because they got that sound, right? When you know the gift is for you, you get excited. That particular gift matters because it's for me. It's the same thing here. Understand, God is announcing this Savior is for all people, but the angels make it personal to the shepherds. They say, unto you is born a Savior. We got to see the same thing here. There is this announcement of salvation, a Savior for all people. But God is telling us this morning, this Savior is for you. For you sitting here this morning. It's a gift of salvation for all who will receive it by faith. So for God so loved the world that he gave his only son a gift, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. That's the gift. It's forgiveness of sins and peace with God and eternal life. See, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. That gift is for you, but you have to receive it. How do we receive that gift? We receive it by faith in the Savior, by faith in Jesus Christ. You acknowledge your guilt as a sinner before God and that you need saving. You ask God to forgive you. You say, God, he's right, God. I've done sinful things. I've said sinful things. I've thought sinful things. Over and over and over again, God, please forgive me for those things. I'm trusting you to save me because I know I can't save myself. That's how we receive the gift. And when you do, when you put your faith in Christ to save you, the Bible says you're filled with joy and peace in believing. So what's the goal of the good news? I'm behind my slides. The goal of God's salvation is God's glory. Just in case we fall back into thinking that it's actually all about us. Remember, we started off saying that we think it's all about us, and that's sinful. Just so that we don't think that this is all about us, we have to see that the goal of God's salvation is God's glory. Yes, the good news brings us joy and peace, but ultimately it brings glory to God. Listen to the angels sing in verse 13. It says, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God. Yeah, one angel wasn't enough. It's the best news ever, right? So this heavenly host, imagine with me for a moment, okay? One angel, they're cowering in fear. Now they're surrounded by a whole host of angels who are all saying at the same time, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. You see, God's salvation in Jesus Christ brings God glory because it displays God's extravagant love and grace and mercy. But not just that, also his holiness, his justice, his power. See, in Jesus Christ's life and death and resurrection, he is going to glorify all of those attributes of God. It's all pointing to God. Yes, there is peace on earth with those who God has favor with those who put their faith in him. But that salvation leads us to say, glory to God in the highest. All right, so the shepherds get good news, and to help them believe it, God gives them a sign. Verse 12, the angel says, this is going to be a sign for you. You're going to find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. This is the third time this has happened in the first couple chapters of Luke. An angel comes with a word from God, and he gives a sign. The sign is fulfilled. Remember? Zechariah finds himself unable to speak. Mary finds Elizabeth is pregnant, and now the shepherds are going to find a baby lying in a manger. Why? Why the signs? The signs are given to help them believe what God is saying to them. But it's not just for them, it's to help us believe it too. So let's see how they responded to this and ask our final question. How are we going to respond to this good news? We're going to see three groups of people responding here. The hearers, Mary, and the shepherds, but we're going to zero in on the shepherds. Look at verses 15 and 16. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. Now, put yourself in their sandals for just a minute. All right? The angels are gone. It's like someone just shut off the lights and they're back in the dark. And they're like, hurry up, let's go see this thing. And I imagine someone's like, dude, give me a minute for my eyes to adjust, right? Like, okay, they don't waste any time at all. They don't say, hey, let's, you know, maybe we should go check that out tomorrow. They're like, let's go now and check it out. There's an eagerness there. How eager are you to go and behold Jesus? How excited are you to meet with him? How quick are you to obey God's word? The shepherds believe God's word. The evidence is that they go and see the baby. They find everything just like the angel said. Verse 17, when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. Now notice this. Verse 18, and all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. They're telling everybody about what God told them about this baby, about who this child is. Of course, they told Mary and Joseph, but all who heard it includes more than just them. That means either that there were other people there that night, all of them, or what I think, Luke from here on out is giving a summary of the events. And he's telling us that the shepherds, they're not going to shut their mouths about it. They're going to tell everyone they possibly can about this good news. We'll come back to the shepherds in a minute. Just like John's birth, there are a whole bunch of people who heard, right, about the birth of Jesus. Remember, John is born and the news is spreading all through the hill country of Judea. Same thing is happening here. Jesus is born, the news is spreading, and it says here that all who heard it wondered. They were amazed. They marveled. But that doesn't mean that they believed it. I'm sure that some of them did, but many of them missed the significance of it. It's like us saying today something like, wow, that is really interesting. And that's as far as it goes. Lots of people respond like that today to the news of Jesus' birth. Yeah, Christmas is an amazing story. It's really interesting. But they wonder if it's true. Mary goes a step deeper. Verse 19, she says, Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. She reflected on everything in a way that the hearers did not. Maybe she sat there quietly while everyone else around her was talking excitedly about all the things that happened. Whatever it was, when it says that they treasured it up, means she kept them in her memory. She kept what happened in her memory. And pondering means she kept mulling it over. She's trying to put the pieces together of everything that she's heard about her baby. You know, go back and look at what the angel Gabriel said to her when she got told she's going to have a baby. And what Elizabeth said, and now what these shepherds are saying, this is Savior, Christ, Lord, right? She's trying to put these things together. She doesn't fully understand it just yet. She believes these things, but she doesn't fully grasp it yet. We're going to see later in the gospel, there's some times where she opposes Jesus, but eventually she's going to come to faith in Jesus, a full understanding of who he is. Right now she's pondering. The shepherds go further still. Look at verse 20. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, just as it had been told them. So the shepherds heard the good news. They hurried off to investigate it. They saw that it was true. They believed it. They started celebrating it and sharing it all within a matter of a few hours. Their new faith led them immediately to witness and worship. That's one of the signs of genuine faith. It leads us, it compels us to witness and worship God. When we hear really good news, we celebrate. The angels were all singing glory to God in the highest, right? Gloria in excelsis Deo. And the shepherds add their voices to the chorus when they go home. They're glorifying and praising God. And the shepherds are also the first evangelists in Luke. Actually, it's a group of multiple eyewitnesses to Jesus Christ, witnesses of historical events, things that they had seen and heard. Heaven meets earth in this story. God becomes a man. An angel delivers news from heaven, but it's all taking place in human history. It's the announcement of a baby that was born on a day in a city, given to shepherds. This lowly child is born in a manger. They saw that baby. God confirmed the message, so they believed. And the response was to glorify God and to tell people about Jesus. The question is, how are you going to respond to the good news this Christmas? God sent this Savior, this gift of salvation to you. To you. How will you respond? And don't leave this gift under the tree. Open it up. Receive it by faith in Jesus Christ. Maybe you're here today. Maybe you're wondering. You're pondering. Believe this. Luke records this eyewitness testimony of these historical events so that we might believe. We've got this recorded testimony. We've got the fulfillment of prophecy, the fulfillment of the signs to help us believe. Believe it this morning. Or maybe you're here this morning and you've already opened the gift. You believe in Jesus Christ. If that's true of you, go witness and go worship with your life. That's the response of someone who has been saved by Jesus Christ. And glorify God with thanks and praise. Glorify God, like the catechism says for kids, by loving him and doing what he commands. Follow your humble Savior and humbly serve other people. Baby Jesus, he's a Savior who is Christ the Lord. He's a gift for you this Christmas, you and me. That's what the party is all about. Man, when people come to your party this Christmas, make sure they know what they're celebrating, what it's all about, and walk them through the Christmas story that we just went through. Talk about who this baby Jesus is. Don't let anyone show up at your party and not know what's going on. Will you pray with me? God, we just thank you and we praise you this morning. We praise you for sending Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord. And God, I pray for every single person here that they would see this good news and that this good news of great joy would truly be good news for them personally, that it would bring us great joy and it would bring you great glory. I ask and pray it in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.